You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Folks, joining us right now, he is the Director of Research for Numbers USA. It's Eric Rourke. Eric, thanks again for taking the time to speak to us. We've spoken in the past. A new poll out shows even 42% of Democrats believe and support President Trump's plan for mass deportations. And from what I understand, you have some interesting numbers that it could actually help the economy.
Well, certainly it could. And, you know, that's an interesting poll that's put out. I think I saw it in Axios.
Yes.
It's a Harvard-Harris poll. And they're sort of using a term, and it's kind of funny that there's so much support, because when you talk about mass deportations, there's trying to conjure up this idea that, you know, people are going to go out, you know, ICE is going to go out in the streets and look for people and grab them and remove them from the country. But really, it's just enforcement. You know, it's deterrent, number one, with saying illegal immigration is going to be stopped. Number two, it's saying people who are here are going to be held accountable, which is totally opposite to what we're seeing from the Biden administration. But even with that kind of language, as you said, there's 42% of Democrats, because people across the board are fed up with what they're seeing, and they want it to come to an end. They don't want to reward lawlessness. But the other part of that, another part of it, I should say, there's many dimensions, but another one is what you mentioned, is about the economic aspect. And we don't see the Biden administration talking. Well, they talk a lot about protecting American workers, but American workers see what's happening. And really, most people coming over the border are economic migrants. They're not fleeing persecution. They might be fleeing poverty,
right,
or harsh conditions in their homeland, but those aren't grounds for admission for asylum. The Biden administration is bringing these people in order to undercut workers who are already here. That includes American workers, but it also includes immigrants who come legally, which in many cases are the ones who are competing most directly with those who are coming over the border illegally. They're working in the same fields. And we see this, your listeners have probably heard this for years, economists, you know, on TV saying immigration has nothing to do with driving wages down. Of course not. Actually, they argue in many cases it raises wages, which is absurd just on the face of it. But now we're starting to see in the Wall Street Journal, you know, Financial Times, other newspapers, major newspapers who have argued the opposite for years. We actually need more immigration. And what's happening is good, because, and they use the term wage inflation. It fights wage inflation, which what they mean is it drives wages down for American workers. But they're making the argument that, yes, in fact, immigration is good because it keeps wages down, which helps consumers because the price of goods remain lower than they would be. But if people can't afford to buy them, it's not going to help the economy. And that's really, I think, the big divide here on this issue is, and George Borjas, who was a Harvard economist, used to say for years, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for American workers? Or are you rooting for immigrant workers who will see a benefit by coming in here? Or are you rooting for the employers? Because the gains, the economic gains from immigration go to immigrants and the employer of immigrants. They don't go to American workers.
Folks, again, our guest, Eric Rourke, Director of Research, Numbers USA. Eric, I'm just curious. Migrants, illegal immigration, it's a problem really all over the globe. I'm just curious, is there one country in particular that stands out in your mind? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, that maybe they've tapped into something and that they are doing it effectively, because it's really a global problem that's going on. Obviously, we're aware of it, but, you know, notice they don't want to stay in Mexico. Canada doesn't seem to have a tremendous problem with it. The United States obviously is a big magnet, but you do see it in Europe. I'm just curious, is there a country that you're familiar with that has a unique approach or does it well?
Well, you're right. It is a worldwide problem, but it is, you know, it's people leaving certain countries, we would maybe say less developed, and going to the developed world, which is
sure,
basically the United States, Europe, and Australia.
Yep.
And so what comes to mind immediately, Australia is an example of where you used to see a lot of boats arriving in Australia, bringing migrants who were, you know, inadmissible under their law, but they were claiming that they were asylum seekers. And they go through the process and they wouldn't qualify, and then they would have a hard time removing them. So what they did was they ended up interdicting the boats, stopping them from landing. And once the people who got on the boat or were thinking about doing that understood that they had a very slight chance of actually making it to Australia, they stopped coming. And they were very successful in stopping illegal immigration because they deterred, you know, they didn't reward it. Well, if you reward behavior, you're going to get more of it, right? That's what we're doing, and that's what we see in Europe. Another country that comes to mind is Hungary, which sort of gets a bad rap within the European Union because they are tough in that they're not rewarding people who are coming to the country seeking asylum because they don't give them a lot of benefits. Now, they are in the European Union, so they are beholden to EU laws when it comes to refugee law, but they don't have to offer them high levels of, for instance, welfare benefits that migrants who are coming into the EU are seeking. And so they go to other places like to the UK, they go to Ireland, a lot of go to France, they go to places where they're going to receive benefits and places which under the national government, they're going to let them stay, whether or not they go through the process and are most of them, which happens when they go through the process, are found not to have legitimate asylum claims. And when we're looking at the United States, not only are we not enforcing the law, but the Biden administration has set up programs to facilitate illegal immigration and to reward them. In the biggest way is they're handing out work permits to people who are coming in illegally, and which is a total violation of the law. And you know, this is going to play out for years, but the very first thing we have to do is to put policies in place that stop it at the border. And at this point, Congress isn't willing to step in. And obviously, President Biden isn't going to do anything until someone forces him to stop.
Eric, you know, it's interesting. I went to college in Providence and, you know, senior year, we lived off campus. So there's four of us, three bedroom apartment. There was a family on the first floor. It was a poor neighborhood. But first floor was, I remember it was a mother, father, two kids, and then there was one guy that lived above us. If I go back to that same apartment, which I've driven past, a triple decker, you now have 10 people living on the first floor, all illegal, 10 people living on the second floor, and you know, five people living on the third floor, and then 10 more in the basement. No one ever seems to address in the Northeast, the housing shortage that you had people that like today, they many of the people that want low-income housing, they can't compete with the rent that a landlord could get from all those tenants that are pulling all their money together.
Yeah, you raised two good points here. The first is when we talk about illegal immigration, it's not just that our immigration laws are being violated. It's all kinds of laws, such
yes.
as housing codes or employment laws, or you know, when it comes to benefits, and some states are giving benefits using taxpayer money to people who are in the country illegally, which is upsetting to residents who are here legally, certainly to American citizens who are paying the taxes to provide these services. And the other thing is we hear all the time about a housing shortage, which is, you know, a crisis, and younger people are having great difficulty affording housing. And, you know, we see people who are having to rent because they can't afford to buy homes, which is, you know, the American dream, really, when you think about it. But then we also are told that we're having a population shortage, right? We need more people because we're not growing as fast. Not that we aren't growing. We added, you know, 22 million people between the 2010 and the 2020 census. That's a lot of people to add to the population. So on one hand, we say we don't have enough people for whatever reason. And the other hand, we don't have enough houses. Well, supply and demand would tell you that maybe if we don't let so many people into the country every year, Americans who are here are going to have an easier time finding and affording housing.
Eric, how can people learn more about Numbers USA?
It's very easy. NumbersUSA.com. You can go there right at the top. There's an action board. We'll put you in touch with your representative or your senator, and you can let them know what you would like them to do. And that's, you know, I always make this case. People sometimes get discouraged and think that nothing they do can help. But I tell you, members of Congress are swayed by people contacting them. And a phone call is the most effective way. Let them know, because for a lot of people in Congress, their best weapon is the ignorance of the voter or the apathy of the voter. If you don't know what's going on or you think you can't do anything about it, then they get to get away with whatever they want to do.
Again, he's Director of Research, Numbers USA. It's Eric Rock. Eric, great to talk to you. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994, that's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year. I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. AEP Services, they take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link. Experience quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business. 401-228-7190. 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail. They have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative landscape. It adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today. AEP Services, 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote, AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190.
Find out what everyone's talking about. It's the John DePietro Show on AM 1380 and 99.9 FM WNRI.
You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Well, this is, and you're seeing it in the journal. You heard Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe talk about it. It is the 25th anniversary of Operation Plunderdome that first broke open in April of 1999, and then Providence Mayor Buddy Cianci went on trial in April of 2002. And to commemorate that, I had I made over 15 appearances on the then Imus in the Morning program, which was heard on the affiliate and then also carried live on MSNBC. And I wanted to play those because it's the 25th anniversary of the Operation Plunderdome trial. Here we go.
From Providence, where today the biggest mob trial this town has seen in quite a while is set to start.
With
Mayor Cianci on trial corruption.
Why are we calling it a
John? Yes, sir.
Why are we calling it a mob trial?
Well, it's, you know, a RICO case and corruption charges.
Well, that's the government's clearly built-in bias against our guy, Mayor Cianci, because he happens to be Italian, so they're going to call it a, and you better than anybody should know that. Your last name ends in a vowel.
Yes, it does. You know, Mr. Ives, there was talk for a long time that maybe there was going to be a plea agreement and we wouldn't even see the trial starting today, but the town had been on what we were kind of describing as like a rug watch. The mayor has slowly dyed his famous hairpiece white, and the feeling was he would look more like a harmless old man to the jury as opposed to if he just kept it jet black.
Right.
So complete with his new tan and, you know, his white hairpiece, he looks like he should be playing, you know, mixed doubles in Boca as opposed to sitting on trial on the 29-count indictment. And the word in the street was that if the rug is white, Buddy is going to fight. And so he heads into court today. You know, his right-hand man, Frank Corrente, he's really not as talented in the rug department. And we haven't seen a lot of the evidence, Mr. Imus, but
no.
One source says one witness will testify that Corrente actually used to keep the bribes with envelopes of cash under his hairpiece. And apparently one witness will also testify that on one occasion when Corrente had a cold, apparently every time he sneezed, a $50 bill flew out. we've been waiting for a defense strategy, and there was word a few weeks ago that Mayor Cianci was seen wandering the Biltmore Hotel, which, you know, where he lives, one of the hotels in the city, in a bathrobe late at night. And many observers thought he was trying to pull up any of the chin, which, you know, Gigante used to wander the village.
Yeah.
And there'd be tourists checking in the room, and then the mayor of Providence would come by in his bathrobe. But apparently the speculation was for naught. It was just he was trying to find some ice for a nightcap late at night.
What's this we hear on a serious note, John, about them having something with the mayor on tape that may be incriminating?
In a stunning development, the government plans to introduce two undercover audio tapes of Mayor Cianci, where apparently he's trying to influence a guy by the name of Stephen Anderson and his statements to the FBI and the federal grand jury. I mean, those of us that are being optimistic see it as probably nothing more than a misunderstanding, and perhaps he was trying to act as a mentor to Mr. Anderson in his dealings with the FBI.
That would be the way I would be looking at it, of course.
And the grand jury. But we're trying to look on the bright side. But it should be an entertaining trial. Some of the people that they expect to come forward are some of the tow truck operators, lots of Joe, Nick, and Tonys. There's speculation they might need a translator for the jury with a lot of the Dems, Does, not-for-nothings, and forget-about-its. So Operation Thugs and Cheap Rugs promises to be the hottest ticket in town.
You know, you've been pretty good here this morning, John. Is your show like this?
Not all 4 hours.
Well, this was enough for us. It's terrific. Thank you very much.
All right, we're going to be broadcasting live right outside federal court today.
Oh, that'll be great.
Opening arguments.
John DePietro, who is the midday host on HJJ there in Providence, Rhode Island. Terrific.
So that was the first time. I was wildly nervous, as you can imagine. And then where things really kicked in was when the Imus in the Morning program, which at the time was seen live on MSNBC, so coast to coast, he came in town. He was at the Biltmore during the trial, and there was no guarantee, but I went down there very early in the morning. I can still envision like 6 o'clock in the morning driving down. He was in town, and then I thought I'd, go and see if there's a way that I could get on. There was, again, as you can imagine, I mean, his reputation preceded him. He was difficult individual, but I figured, why not? And then right before, I think it was like 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:20 in the morning, they called me and
thank you all for coming.
Brought me up to, there it is on the main stage where Imus and all the cameras, and they had a big crowd. And
John DePietro from our very fine affiliate here at WHJJ Talk Radio 920 is with us. Good morning, Mr. DePietro.
Good morning, Mr. Imus. They call it Operation Plunderbone. We like to refer to it as Operation Thugs and Bad Rugs.
Well,
that's ugly.
That is ugly.
Yeah. That's cold.
The crowd is turning. It's been a very interesting trial. This is not a typical trial. It's like grumpy old men on trial. Yeah. When you have senior citizens as defendants,
right.
They fall asleep in court. They can't hear that well. They can't see that well. We had an incident last week. One of the defendants, Frank Correnti, the judge was going to hold him in contempt of court for refusing to answer a question.
Right.
But it turned out that Mr. Correnti's dentures had actually locked, and once they gummed him up, he was fine. One of my favorite situations happened this week. There's another defendant, Edward Bacola, who runs a very reputable auto body place here in Providence.
Was he like the Rain Man guy yesterday?
No. That was the guy that had been on the run to testify, that worked with
right.
Mr. Bacola.
Okay.
But when you're dealing with senior citizens, it's different. Vicola apparently had a cheese pizza last weekend,
right.
And became constipated during the course of the weekend. And then Sunday becomes Monday, he's back in court. By the afternoon, the government had moved the case towards his part of the case. And just the mere mention of the word Westminster Street acted as a laxative to Mr. Vicola. The judge had to call an emergency 10-minute recess.
Right.
And Mr. Vicola essentially almost knocked down the jury trying to get to the men's room,
right.
Sprinting out of the courtroom.
The trial has been going on for how long? 3 weeks?
3 weeks. We're still waiting for the first witness who has not lied to the FBI.
Right.
in Rhode Island, the FBI is almost like telemarketers. Nobody wants to hear from them. Get out of here. I don't live, whatever. Go away. So,
is the mayor going to testify in this trial?
We certainly hope so.
Yeah.
We have heard about him on that supposed sex tape, but there's been nothing like that. But so far, it's been a typical Rhode Island trial. The first witness, was a resident at Foxwoods, the casino.
Right.
He was torn like a chainsaw by Cianci's attorney on the stand.
Right.
And then Mike Stanton alluded, his building supposedly was going to be burned down. I've heard that all fingers point to the FBI, because he was such a horrible witness. They were just trying to get revenge.
They're going to get even when they might burn him down. We have about 30 seconds here. Well, I was talking to Stanton, the guy from the Providence Journal. A happy ending. I mean,
so, folks, there you had it. 25th anniversary. Now, the trial it started in 1999, but then the trial was April of 2002, and then it finished in June of 2002. And as we know, Buddy Cianci went on and did 5.5 years in federal prison. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. Royal Exteriors, call them today. Free estimate, 401-533-9989. Royal Exteriors, customer service, first local residential roofer with over 10 years experience using America's top-rated lifetime architectural shingles. Deal directly with the owner, Andrew. No high-priced salesman with commission. Andrew believes fair prices paired with expert workmanship makes a perfect combination. Royal Exteriors. Call today for a free estimate, 401-533-9989. Royal Exteriors. Install new windows, doors, vinyl siding. How about a new roof? They're ready. Call Royal Exteriors today for a free quote, based right in Johnston. 401-533-9989. Home exterior remodeling. Royal Exteriors, where the customer is always king. J. Perry Paving, they always provide high quality, fair pricing, exceptional service, and a free quote. Free estimate, any project, J. Perry Paving. Call them 401-732-1730. Get your driveway paved, 401-732-1730 for J. Perry Paving. Licensed and insured contracted company committed to meeting your needs. No matter how big, how small, maybe it's a brand new paving project or just a cracked driveway that needs to be refreshed, J. Perry Paving. Call them for a free quote, 401-732-1730. You can also find them online at jperrypaving.com. Also on Facebook, it's going to make the appearance of your property worth more, look better. Commercial paving, residential. Call for your free quote today, J. Perry Paving, 401-732-1730, and look for them on Facebook.
You're listening to The John DePietro Show on AM 1380 and 99.9 FM WNRI.
Thank you, Paul Giamarco. Let's go to Donnie Deutsch on MSNBC saying these protesters, they don't even ceasefire. They don't even mention the word peace.
The things that are coming out of their mouth.
Here we go.
It's sad. We're in 2024, and the Upper West Side of New York City, Jews are told by their rabbi or suggested that they should leave because it's unsafe. And these are not protesters. These are violent hate mongers. The things that are coming out of their mouth, burn down Tel Aviv, genocide. October 7th, we did it once. We'll do it 10 times. We'll do it 100 times. We'll do it 1,000 times. We'll do it 10,000 times. This is an atrocity. And I'm going to say the quartet out loud. If there was any group spewing hate and violence against any other group, Asians, blacks, Hispanics, gays, it would be shut down. And this needs to be shut down immediately because, and once again, those groups are back. Those tents are back up. And this cannot go unanswered. It's very simple. And, you know, there's a continuum of protesters. There's a heinous anti-violent ones that spewing hatred, spewing death, if you will. And then there's the less malignant that say ceasefire. But even ceasefire doesn't have the word peace in it. Never do you hear the word peace because this side doesn't want peace. It wants a jihad. And this is not pro-Palestinian. This is anti-Israel. And anti-Israel is a misnomer because it's really anti-Jew. And it makes me sick and it's terrifying.
You know, think about, so I lived on the Upper West Side when I first moved to New York City. I lived at 73rd between Columbus and Central Park West. Right now, Jewish people on the Upper West Side of Manhattan are being told to leave the city for their own safety. This is how out of control this is. Now, let's look at the larger picture. This is bad for President Biden. This is really bad for Biden in the reelection and the Democrats. There's a new Axios has a new exclusive poll. Americans are open to Trump's harshest immigration plans. Half, including 42% of Democrats, say they'd support mass deportations of illegals. New Harris poll that Axios has. So think about that. And in Rhode Island, how much that should really resonate. As far as political affiliation, 68% of Republicans support mass deportation of illegals, 46% of independents, 42% of Democrats. 42% of Democrats. This is a major issue. This is where McKee is wrong. This is where Magazine is wrong. This is where Gabe Amo is wrong. Now, 56% of whites, they break it down by ethnic, Latino, 40% of blacks. As far as baby boomers, 60% support the Trump plan for mass deportation. Gen X, 53%. Millennial, 48%. And then Gen Z, 35%. So, but that's huge. Americans are open to mass deportations of illegals. And you never hear that discussed in Rhode Island. You don't hear any of the media talk about it. You certainly don't hear the Rhode Island Republican Party, what's left of it, talk about it. By the way, they're totally asleep at the switch here. They did nothing on the bridge. They're not doing anything about voting, which is completely just off the track. I want to go back to this Scott Galloway, who is, this is really interesting, where he's talking about a lot of the angst with young people. Listen to this.
Our nation's history, a 30-year-old man or woman isn't doing as well as his or her parents were at 30. That is the social compact breaking down. People aged 30 to 34, 60% of them in 1990 had one child. Now it's 27%. People are opting out of America. They're not optimistic about it. They're not having kids. Young people aren't having sex. They're not meeting. They're not mating. The pool of emotionally and economically viable men shrinks every day, which lessens household formation. So we have a real issue. Young people are enraged. So it turns every cut, every movement into an opportunistic infection because, quite frankly, they are just pissed off. Mm-hmm. They look up, they see wealth, exceptional wealth across my generation and people in certain industries, and they are really struggling. Their purchasing power is going down, and the incumbents create artificial scarcity on campus. We take pride in rejecting 90% of our applicants. So the incumbents who already have a degree see their degree go up in value. We get very concerned with housing and traffic once we own the housing. Housing permits are sequestered from young people. Housing prices have gone from 290 to 420 in the last 4 years. So a young person, a house, stocks that I don't own, skyrocket in value. Let's have COVID relief and flush the markets and take assets way up, because if a million people dying would be bad, would be tragic if I got less wealthy. And we're doing it on their credit card. Young people have every reason to be enraged, and every issue they see, they look up, they get angry, and they see someone doing better than them. And then every day it is speedballed in their face that they are failing, that they are not doing as well as everyone around them. We have lost the script. Our kids are more anxious and more depressed and more obese and more addicted. And we have made a purposeful decision to let this happen by ensuring the people around this table stay wealthy at the cost of young people.
Think of that. And a big part of that that he doesn't mention, but I mean, part of it he does mention, but it's of COVID. COVID, the damage that was done by COVID, the lockdowns. He's absolutely right. That's Scott Galloway about the money that went flying out. Because of social media, they see people on private jets. They see the athletes, all the multimillionaires. I mean, it is absolutely just disgraceful with what is happening right now. So I don't know. I think this is a tremendous opportunity for the Trump administration. I think it is. So, folks, how about this? At the Rhode Island State House, the House passed an election bill amendment, opens drop boxes 35 days before regular elections. and keeps 20 for special elections. What an these drop boxes are just going to be the end of the elections in Rhode Island. Folks, you're listening to the John DePietro Show. Dreammaker, bath and kitchen, enhancing lives, improving homes. Give them a call. Make an appointment, 401-433-7272. They have a beautiful design center. Make an appointment right near Crown Plaza in Warwick. Dreammaker, bath and kitchen, full service remodeling company that they work along you, the homeowner, serious about enhancing your lives, meaningful home improvements, one-stop shopping. And they're going to take you from concept to completion, the complete remodeling process of the home, whether it's a design or a build remodel. And remember, with Dreammaker Bath and Kitchen, it's all about respect, integrity, and customer focus. Transition from dreams to reality. Experience an upgrade living with your bath and kitchen remodel today. Again, give them a call. Set up an appointment. Free consultation, 401-433-7272. They're right in Warwick. Dreammaker Bath and Kitchen, making improvements to your kitchen. It's exciting. Endless design options. They're going to work with you and give you the kitchen and bath makes sense for your home. Dreammaker Bath and Kitchen. Call today. Set up that free consultation, 401-433-7272, and also look for them on Facebook. All your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency services available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists. Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln, you can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. Check out DePietro.com, DePietro.com, all our links to social media, exclusive stories and videos waiting for you at DePietro.com.
Breaking it down like no one else. It's the John DePietro Show on AM 1380 and 99.9 FM WNRI.
Thank you, Paul Giamarco. Let's get to some of the news of the day, starting with the Trump trial in New York City.
Karen's quiet. All's going good. According to Pecker, the Inquirer had paid Playboy model Karen McDougal $150,000 to keep her claim of a sexual relationship with Trump out of print. Trump denies the affair, but Pecker testified, "I believe the story was true. It would have been very embarrassing to Trump and also to his campaign." Pecker recalled visiting Trump Tower after Trump was elected. Around his desk, he had James Comey, Sean Spicer, Reince Priebus, and Michael Pompeo. Trump wanted to talk about Karen McDougal. "How's our girl doing?" Pecker recalled Trump saying, "I want to thank you for handling the McDougal situation." Months later, McDougal appeared on television. Pecker said Trump called him to complain. "I thought you had and we had an agreement with Karen McDougal that she can't give any interviews." Pecker said top White House aides Hope Hicks and Sarah Huckabee Sanders called him too. Pecker testified both of them said that they thought that it was a good idea for the Inquirer to extend McDougal's contract. The defense portrayed these kinds of arrangements as routine, standard operating procedure for a tabloid. And under cross-examination, Pecker testified he paid to spike a story about Rahm Emanuel during his run for mayor of Chicago and strong-armed Tiger Woods into appearing in one of his fitness magazines by using an unflattering story as leverage.
"It was breathtaking and amazing testimony."
The defense argues Trump wanted to bury salacious stories to protect his family, but Pecker testified otherwise. Once Trump started running for president, did he ever say anything to you that indicated that he was concerned about what Melania Trump or Ivanka Trump would think, prosecutors asked? No, Pecker replied. It was basically, what would the impact be to the campaign?
Pecker will be under cross-examination. It's expected for a few more hours, George, before he steps down as the first witness in this historic criminal trial of a former president.
Again, I don't know what to make of how criminal some of this stuff is, but at the very least, say it's unflattering. Now, let's go to how the situation seemingly is getting more raucous coast to coast on the campuses.
Protesters in the heart of Ohio State's campus. At least 30 people arrested after protesters formed a circle refusing to let police into the encampment. At Columbia University, the epicenter of growing student dissent against the war in Gaza, face a deadline to dismantle their encampment as protests and arrests intensify across the nation. This morning, the gates to Columbia remain locked, surrounded by NYPD. But just hours ago, at least half a dozen groups, mostly non-students, marching outside those gates. The pro-Palestinian movement growing across college and university campuses, with more than 400 people detained Thursday alone. At Emory University in Atlanta, a state trooper repeatedly tasing a man as protesters clashed with police.
I go to this school! I have a right to be here!
One woman who says she's a philosophy professor also taken into custody.
Call the philosophy department office and tell them I've been arrested.
At Indiana University, police warning students to remove their tents or face suspension or expulsion.
You've been given two warnings.
Later, taking at least 30 people into custody. At Northwestern University, our Chicago station, WLS, capturing video of students setting up a new encampment, vowing to occupy the area until the university stops supporting Israeli occupation. After days of protests at California universities, USC announcing it's canceling its main graduation ceremony in May. At Northeastern, university police and Boston police officers surrounding protesters and their tents. The university saying the student protesters are violating the code of student conduct. We spoke to a Jewish student at Columbia University who says she joined the pro-Palestinian protests with the goal of creating peace between the Jewish community and those supporting Gaza.
I know that if we see a free Palestine within our lifetime, I am one step closer to the Jewish safety that myself, all my peers are looking for.
As of right now, we understand student negotiators are in talks with university officials about their demands as the university tries to dismantle the tent encampment that is still on campus, George.
Now, I was at Brown University, and it's a completely different atmosphere. It could heat up. But for now, it's just a bunch of people outside. Meanwhile, rape conviction. Movie producer Harvey Weinstein overturned by New York's highest court.
This morning, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office vowing to attempt to retry the case against disgraced Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein after a state court of appeals overturned his 2020 rape conviction. Weinstein was convicted of sexual crimes against two women in New York.
To the survivors of Harvey Weinstein, I owe, and we all owe, an immense debt to you.
He was sentenced to 23 years behind bars, but in a 4-3 decision, the New York Court of Appeals overturning that verdict, citing what it called egregious errors and finding the judge erroneously allowed women who weren't part of the case to testify. Amanda Brainerd, known as Juror 11, voted to convict Weinstein. She tells ABC News she was appalled by the ruling.
We took our role very seriously. We focused on the charges, which was our job. So it seems to me that to overturn a verdict based on witnesses that really were not that relevant to our discussion is insane.
Caitlin Delaney, an actress who was not involved in the case but accused Weinstein of sexually assaulting her in a hotel room in 1996, says she was shocked by the decision.
While this is a setback, all of us who work in this field are still moving forward and do believe that change will happen.
Weinstein was once considered one of the most powerful men in Hollywood, accused of using his power to either advance or destroy women's careers based on how they responded to his sexual advances. Accusations he's denied. Accusations that helped spark the Me Too movement. More than 80 women have accused Weinstein of sexual assault or harassment, including actresses Uma Thurman, Gwyneth Paltrow, Rose McGowan, and Ashley Judd, who blasted the decision to overturn his conviction.
This is what it's like to be a woman in America, living with male entitlement to our bodies.
Lauren O'Connor worked for Weinstein from 2013 to 2016. It was an internal memo she wrote to studio executives that led to the 2017 New York Times article outing accusations against her former boss.
And I remember the day that he was convicted in New York was a tremendous victory and surreal. And I think, you know, sitting here today reading the news, the sad thing I'll say is I'm not surprised.
This morning, Weinstein remains at a prison near Albany, still behind bars, for a sexual assault conviction in L.A. in 2022 that his lawyer says they plan to appeal.
That appeal has not been even filed yet, let alone heard. So I'm sure he is anxious to get the ball rolling.
And the Manhattan District Attorney's Office says it intends to retry Weinstein, and that means his accusers could be forced to retell their stories again on the witness stand.
Wow. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. You need a good plumber? J&B Plumbing. Call them today, 401-743-9153. J&B Plumbing. They can repair damaged water pipes. They can repair clogged pipelines. They can replace a water heater. All your plumbing needs. Call Jim right now at J&B Plumbing. You know, plumbing is something, and suddenly you have an emergency, and then you need a plumber right away. You want to go with the experienced plumbers at J&B Plumbing. 401-743-9153. Family-run business. Now, I share their Facebook page. You can find for easy reference. But they specialize plumbing, heating, drain cleaning, most importantly, all problem-solving, quality workmanship, and emergency service. It's J&B Plumbing. You need a good plumber? I got a great one. J&B. Call them today. Call them right now. 401-743-9153. Remember, they can repair damaged water pipes, repair a clogged pipeline, replace water heaters. J&B Plumbing. 401-743-9153. Propane Plus, for all your propane needs, call Propane Plus today, heating and cooling. In Rhode Island, call the propane experts at 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359 for Propane Plus. Three generations, they're available 24/7, and they're going to serve you for a long time. At Propane Plus, you can also log on to their website. It's very user-friendly, propaneplus.com, and then you just type in your zip code, whether it's residential or commercial. Always there for you, dedicated, providing exceptional service. It's Propane Plus, energy for everyone. Call them today. In Rhode Island, call Propane Plus. 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. Thank you, Paul Giamarco. Governor McKee appeared on NBC 10, Connect to the Capitol with Dan Janik. They do it live. He was on for six and a half minutes, maybe almost 7 minutes, as a matter of fact. So I want to play. This is Connect to the Capitol with Dan Janik of NBC 10 and Rhode Island Governor Dan McKee.
I just need another job. That's all I need.
I'm just kidding. Emily Bowles is here.
I'll let you do that job.
There you go. And she'll join us in just a second. Great. First, you know, I know that you have been hit hard, and I even myself, I've hammered you hard a little bit about the Washington Bridge because there's been so...
I want to just mention, this time the governor's gone on set with Dan Janik instead of actually connecting to the Capitol, where he always seemed to have problems with his, with the, you know, the hearing as far as the little earpiece that they put in.
Much frustration. I want to take some live pictures here, if we can, our director. I mean, it's like we have a Zen moment here, Governor. Like, traffic since this new lane change last weekend, for the most part, has looked like this every night. So it's working.
It is working. We certainly got a little more work to do to repave the three lanes going in each direction. The capacity is about where we were before December 11th, in terms of the three lanes. They're a little more congested, so we're doing a lot more of enforcement to make sure that people are paying attention, staying in their lanes, staying off their phones. The accidents are the wild card right now, Dan. We can't afford accidents because accidents back up the traffic, and then it delays people from getting where they need to go.
Right. But, I mean, you got hit hard. It's nice to say on a night like this, so far, so good.
Yeah, I think that what it is right now, I think the hit hard, it's an understatement to say that it was a major disruption to people's lives, right?
Yeah.
Not only the individuals that are driving, but the businesses that are impacted, we're fully aware of that. So right. We've had 4 months of real challenge. What we're doing now is, and we brought in an engineer once we found that it wasn't going to be a 90-day issue, right? And that's my engineer. So we're getting advice to them that we're going to build a brand-new bridge that's going to outlast all our lifetimes.
Right.
And we've hired a legal team to make sure that we do the work to go backwards to see where the accountability is, if any, to make sure that we're holding people accountable. Right now, my job is to make sure to do everything as a governor I can to keep the traffic flowing, but also take the bridge down that is, needs to be taken down, and to rebuild that brand new bridge in a time frame that will accelerate the time frame so that we're, having a good outcome to this.
I suppose you also have to keep your eye on the eastbound side because it's getting so much more traffic and congestion, because the westbound side is being fixed. Is that something you have to look at as well?
Well, the east side, once we fix the west, we're going to go back to normal traffic flow on the east. So we're not concerned about that. Remember, that was a bridge that was replaced a few 10 years or so ago. And it was, remember, the bridge that we're replacing is a one-of-a-kind design that, quite frankly, was,
wasn't the best one.
And you were trying to save money, which we're not going to try to save money. We're going to build a bridge that's going to outlast all of us, a 100-year bridge instead of a 25-year fix.
Right.
So
people
that are still around in 25 years, I hope are kind of like retired somewhere and enjoying life, but that we don't have to go through
this aggravation. Keep people safe, right? That's the bottom line.
The safety was the top player.
Yeah, earlier this week, you called for over $1 million to help small businesses impacted by the bridge. Members of the Small Business Coalition are concerned that over the timing, if it's part of a budget, that doesn't usually happen until June, and they want to know if you'd consider making an emergency amendment to get that money now.
So we're talking to the Senate President and the Speaker about whether or not they want to entertain a standalone bill that would free up those dollars. Remember, those dollars are there in Commerce. We just need to redirect them and get permission from the General Assembly to use them specifically for whatever the local mayors want, Mayor DeSilva, Mayor Smiley, appropriating those dollars in Providence, East Providence, and then we're holding a couple $100,000 just in case there's, things that should be done outside of those two.
So that money could be coming soon, you're saying?
Well, if the General Assembly picks it up and does a quick amendment or bill, pass the bill that
we put
in.
You're in favor of that?
Well, of course, we're in favor of that. But we're getting late in the session. We're coming into May
that's
right
what
now.
I'm saying. And things move slow up there.
It may not happen until the end of the session. We're prepared for that. If it happens sooner, we'll certainly take advantage of that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, they wanted to know if you considered it. They just now heard that you support that, so there's probably a little bit of sigh relief.
And keep the businesses going. And heck,
I picked up
some roast beef sandwiches in East Providence before the Celtic game on Saturday. Went to my son's house in East Providence. I was at a diner this morning in East Providence, so I think that, making that effort to continue to work with the businesses makes sense.
Don't be afraid to bring a roast beef sandwich to me there, Governor.
Yeah, they're very good.
Let's switch to the other subject. Nationwide and now at Brown University, we're seeing student protests over the Israeli Hamas war, some turning violent. What are your thoughts about what's happening locally on Brown's campus? Because it looks like it's kind of building up.
Well, I think we got to avoid violence at any cost. And so, certainly encourage enforcement. If, in fact, you're heading in that direction, that we got to step in. The authorities need to step in. Whether it's a college campus authorities or a state police or a National Guard, we can't have violence in our state for any reason.
Right.
But at the same time, you're protecting a freedom of speech, That's another story. I believe in that. But what concerned me when October 8th came, right, when Hamas attacked Israel and very supportive of Israel, I was very concerned that some of the protests that were going on at that point in time in favor of Hamas or trying to eliminate Israel, you know some of the nasty language that right. goes on in these protests, that would kind of stimulate a confrontation of some kind. And right. we got to do everything we can to make sure there's no violence.
Are you monitoring that? Are you in touch with your people just to make sure that everything stays pretty peaceful?
Not only
here?
On the state level, but also on the national level, because okay. we make sure that our state police are connected in with the national, the national information to make sure that nothing that's coming in terms of violence into the state of Rhode Island that we're not addressing.
All right, Governor, to give me the 30-second wrap, I wanted to see if you had the chance to see your predecessor on 60 Minutes the other night.
I did.
Yeah?
I did. And, I've said this for over and over again. I think it's a sense of source of pride for the people of the state of Rhode Island to have a Rhode Islander, a former governor in this case, being on a cabinet for the President of the United States, and to be functioning in the way that Secretary Raimondo is, with the chips and making sure that we're made in America and trying to move our economy forward. So I think it is a source of pride for the people in the state of Rhode Island.
Do you talk to her at all, or are you?
I saw her in Washington when the National Governors Association. We were at the White House. Andy is her husband, and met with the. With Gina as well, so we do talk, and we certainly have certain things in common. Right now, we have we're one of the tech hubs, right? That was identified 11 in the country.
Right.
We have a proposal into commerce right now. So for our 60 some odd million dollars to help our blue economy. So yes, of course, we're connecting in our offices as well with their staff.
All right, Governor, that's all the time they're giving me. Always good to see you. Give my best to your mother and to your family.
Okay.
And I like roast beef, pickles, and mayonnaise.
Yes. Well, I tell you, they have good roast beef on Broadway. I think it's Miller's roast beef. I can say that out loud.
I'm going to hold you to that. Okay. All right, Governor. Thank you. Emily?
Governor McKee with Dan Janik on Connect to the Capitol. Lawn Doctor of Rhode Island. Make them your lawn care company. They have a great website, lawndoctor.com, lawndoctor.com. You can also call them, 401-392-1025, or log onto their website. It's so simple, lawndoctor.com. Then type in your zip code. Get a quick, easy quote. Right now is the time. Your best lawn ever guaranteed. Lawn Doctor Premium 8 Service Program. This is early spring. Crabgrass control, time-release fertilizer, broadleaf weed control. Then you have the spring lime, professional blend of high-calcium lime. Late spring, summer, grub prevention, early fall, late fall. And don't forget about ticks and mosquitoes. Lawn Doctor, your best lawn ever guaranteed. Log on at their website. It's lawndoctor.com or call them 401-392-1025. Lawn Doctor of Rhode Island is your lawn care company. The Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Lunch, dinner, drinks in the lounge, especially this time of year. So much going on. They always have a nice crowd right there. Full bar, large dining area right there in the lounge. Easy to get to, whether it's lunch or dinner. A great meal is waiting for you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery. Think of this, since 1994, that's right, celebrating the big anniversary this year. I'll see you at the Lodge Pub and Eatery, 40 Breakneck Hill Road in Lincoln. Check out DePietro.com, DePietro.com, all our links to social media, exclusive stories and videos waiting for you at DePietro.com.